Hey everyone, my name is Eduardo Gomez. I'm here with Alejandro Machado. We are Venezuelans currently working to improve the crypto ecosystem, and we wanted to talk today about a very important topic, which is money is the first dApp, crypto adoption in Venezuela. Living in Venezuela. So in Venezuela, there's a vibrant Bitcoin community, cryptocurrency community, and we all been using cryptocurrencies since the start to survive incredible hardships like hyperinflation. Infrastructure in Venezuela has worsened. The country is in the middle of the worst economic crisis in its history. And essentially, everyone in the country is living on past glories. Like, we are now experiencing inflation rates of up to 1,000,000%, and there's no public expenditure on infrastructure in the country. We're seeing things like old abandoned towers, buildings that are being used by poor people to live in. This picture right here that you can see is the Tower of David. It's an unfinished building, a skyscraper, that was invaded by people to live in. This is the state of Venezuela right now. And that's what we wanted to address here and raise awareness of. Poverty in Venezuela in 5 years has tripled, doubled, and essentially now up to 90% of the population is living in poverty. The monthly minimum wage in Venezuela right now is about $5 per month of work. This, of course, means that the whole population depends on the government. The government has made itself the bank for the population. The population depends on the government to give them handouts to survive because the wages are so low.
Yeah, and they want it that way.
Yeah, they want it. Legality does not equal morality. In Venezuela, there are laws and procedures that were put in place by the government that the National Assembly, the Congress, approved of them that seems like good things, but they're not. In Venezuela, there is a state-sponsored violence. The country, since the government cannot repress people, I mean, they repress people, but they cannot do so with the military or the police because it looks bad. What they have done is that they have sponsored their whole paramilitary guerrilla. The way they do this is that they have put people from a political party, and they have funded them. They have given them their arms, weapons, resources, and these guys show up at any dissident or any protest. So it is citizens repressing citizens. That are these citizens, in case they're sponsored by the government. This is the exact thing that we're seeing right now in Nicaragua with Daniel Ortega. The paramilitaries are running the country there. We have been living this since approximately since 2012 or something. 15 years of exchange control. Venezuela is one of the few places in the world where we can exactly pinpoint where everything went to hell. In this case, it was in 2003. When former President Hugo Chavez, in a public speaking, he expressed his frustration in the fact that he could no longer fund public programs because the government had run out of money, the budget, right? So since he enjoyed tremendous popular support, the parliament there approved a law that could essentially allow the president to ask as much money as he wanted. These, of course, put tremendous inflationary pressure into the economy because the government was printing money like crazy. Another part of this is that the government imposed the year after a currency control mechanism. This currency control mechanism means that regular citizens, Venezuelans, cannot buy dollars, euros, or any other currencies. Essentially, the people, the population, have to resort to a black market to get dollars if they need. Regular Venezuelans cannot access these hard currencies. Yeah. And so the control of the access to dollars, the government has it. One of the worst aspects of this is that the government has infiltrated all public institutions, even private sector, because they're the ones who decides who gets the dollar. If you're a businessman in Venezuela and you want to invest in the country and you want to purchase dollars to import some goods, you have to go through the government and you need connections with the government. So this currency control mechanism has been used by the government since 2003 to seize power and to basically exert their influence all over the economy. Venezuelans, in this scenario, they have to resort to the black market to get their dollars. In my case, crypto, this is the story of how crypto made me thrive. In 2015, I was basically seeking for ways to generate income online, get some work done, because minimum wage at the time was about $30 per month. Everyone, I was hearing stories of people playing games like World of Warcraft to mine gold, and they were selling that gold on the internet, and they were making more money than engineers, programmers, normal employees inside the country. So after hearing all these stories, I decided, what the hell? Let's do some work on the internet. And I joined these platforms, things like Upwork, Freelancer, Fiverr, to do some work, things like translation, content creation, etc. The problem with this is that these services, they rely on centralized payment systems like PayPal, Payoneer, and other gatekeepers of the international, in this case, internet money world. And these platforms also take their cut. So I was getting 70% of the money by using Upwork or Freelancer. And then in Venezuela, I had to purchase a PayPal account because the currency control mechanism does not let me cash out those dollars into my currency. So I had to buy a verified PayPal account, and then I was using a dealer to sell these dollars I was earning PayPal for significantly less. To put things into perspective and make it simple, I was making like 40% less of my work, what I deserve, just by using decentralized service systems. So I have done in this cryptocurrency space everything since solving CAPTCHAs, writing articles, and a bunch of other stuff. At the end of 2015, I stumbled upon Bitcoin Talk forum, and I saw there was some guy who was paying people for solving CAPTCHAs, and he was paying with Bitcoin. He was paying 0.0015 Bitcoin per 1,000 CAPTCHAs, which equals to 150 satoshis per CAPTCHA. This was at the time was $1.65 per 1,000 CAPTCHAs, and I was making like 5,000 CAPTCHAs per month per day.
Tell me you huddled.
Yeah. So this was a nice experience. I felt like I was throwing my life away, but it was a nice experience because I was earning Bitcoin, and Bitcoin was easily tradable in Venezuela. We had Sir Bitcoin Exchange, which was the main Bitcoin exchange in the country, which had instant fiat withdrawals, something that neither of you guys have, even in the US. So, and there was also local Bitcoin, which was gaining popularity back then. So then this happened. I got wrecked by the secret police. So in Venezuela, there's the SEBIN, which is basically the CIA and NSA combined in the country. They use this secret police not to protect their country against espionage or something. They use it as a political tool. They imprison political dissidents and basically anyone who is against the government. This is a 2018 head Gestapo or Stasi or something. So they detained me because I was doing stupid things in the internet, and I stumbled upon an open FTP server of these guys with sensitive information, pictures of agents. They were doing some internal stuff and they left an open FTP server. This is the level of incompetence that we see down there. Yeah. And some of you may believe that this was a honeypot. No, this wasn't a honeypot. Mm-hmm. This was unintentionally left open. So after a month of their stumble down that server, I got detained by them. They raided my house and they took not only me inside the police station, but my mining rigs that I had for Ethereum. So this was a very bad experience, as you might imagine. Luckily, I got out 2 weeks after that. I spent 15 days in jail. But they stole my mining equipment, and they never returned it. They're probably mining, still mining Ethereum by now, or Zcash, or whatever.
Yeah.
So, luckily, about 1 month ago, this was all in 2016, at the end of it, I finally got a real job in the cryptocurrency scene. I now work for Purse.io as a customer support agent. I was finally able to leave the country last month, and since then, I've been pretty much living cash bankless in Venezuela. And in Argentina, I'm living basically with only Bitcoin. I have no bank account, and it's relatively easy in these countries to exchange money. The problem with these countries is that, gentlemen, we have governments that have decided upon themselves to control every aspect of life. They control the issuance of money, and they have no repairs into diluting or increasing the monetary base, which affects the whole population. So I'm now living pretty much on cash and Bitcoin in Argentina by using local Bitcoin. In Venezuela, sadly, Sir Bitcoin Exchange, which was the biggest Bitcoin exchange, it got shut down by the government. So everyone there is now relying on local Bitcoin to make their payments and to trade their Bitcoin.
Yeah.
I now want to leave the stage to Alejandro, who's going to talk about more initiatives that he's working on to improve this situation. And hopefully, we can inspire some of you guys to build tools for the people in Venezuela.
I can stay here if you want. Yeah. You want to intervene, you can also intervene. I can just stay here. Yeah, we're very lucky to have you here and like to tell us your story, and we're really happy that you were able to make it out.
Thank you.
So here we are. This is DEF CON. We're super excited about the world computer and decentralized applications. We are talking about the things that these decentralized applications could enable: money, identity, governance. The real state of things is that money is at beta stage, like 0.0. Identity and governance, they're coming, but still very, very early. So what we're doing at the Open Money Initiative, we believe that access to a free and open financial system is a basic human right. And we are focusing on enabling people to get access to free money, to open money systems. We believe that decentralized applications will be enabled by the use of money first. So what can you do as a Venezuelan that doesn't have access to monetary systems that are open, that doesn't have access to exchanging your worthless money into sound money? You can earn across borders, as Eduardo said. You can mine Ether, you can mine Zcash. I have friends who are doctors who are earning like $5 a month. If you can mine Zcash or Ether, if you have like an old rig at your house, you can earn $200, and that's a lifeline for many, many people. We want to empower more people to get access to this. You can also earn across borders, and Eduardo talked about this briefly as well. You can have systems that where you can earn money by trading your labor for cryptocurrencies that then you can exchange for others. Typically, the setup is you mine a coin or you earn in a coin and then you cash out to Bitcoin, because Bitcoin is the most liquid cryptocurrency in Venezuela. The local Bitcoin's volume is around $1 million a day, and it's very easy to, if you know how to navigate the local Bitcoin's interface, which nobody, like not everyone does, but if you do know how to, it's almost like earning in foreign currency and being able to trade back and forth. So you are almost getting access to this open financial system, and you can almost say that you are banked. You can also store your value, because if you just keep the money in bolivars, you are subject to 98% depreciation in the year or something like that. You can also defeat extortion. I have friends of friends who have crossed the border recently, and instead of getting harassed at the border and getting seized, they could just carry a password in their head. And when they cross the border, you don't have bills with you. You have some bills, and then they can just seize a part of that, but they can't seize what you have here or what you have in your phone if you protect it well. And we can provide unstoppable humanitarian aid. The government has a history of boycotting humanitarian aid because they believe that all aid is CIA agents that want to disrupt their operations, and they deny the extent of the humanitarian crisis. So if we're able to give people the tools, and 45% of Venezuelans own a smartphone, if we're able to give people the tools to store cryptocurrency and to get cryptocurrency into the hands of people, getting people that live outside Venezuela to send cryptocurrency to their families that are earning in Colombian pesos or in soles or in dollars, if we can get money that is sound money or real tradable money into Venezuela, and then they're able to use it as money, then we can provide a lot of aid for the people that are still there. So what are we doing at the Open Money Initiative? We are creating campaigns for awareness and education. We have a wiki that is in Spanish and English, and we expect this to be the hub for Venezuelans to come and really learn about practical uses of cryptocurrency. We're not going to explain how the blockchains work. We're not going to explain, you know, high-level concepts. Vitalik's papers are not going to be here, probably. But what we want is for people to use, like, just products and services that are relatively simple. So we explain how to use Abra, how to use some other wallets, and how to gain access to this open financial system. We're focusing on usability, so we're developing some wallets and some tools that people can use to send, for example, DAI to each other using things that they already use, like WhatsApp. We are experimenting with airdrops and onboarding in border cities. We have like partners, it's a project called Crypto Conserje, this is where they took this picture in Cúcuta, and they are experimenting with different ways that people can get paper wallets and can pay with them and get used to the idea of cryptocurrencies. And how can you help? So please, first of all, live out your values. If you really believe in decentralization, you have to be aware that there's enemies to these decentralizations. There's people and states that don't really care much for freedom. And just try to be coherent with what you do. Designed for those who need crypto today, and in this case, we believe that Venezuelans are very much at the forefront of this. Argentinians also experience very high inflation. In Iran, they also experience high inflation. So just look out for those cases where money, like the need for money, is really, really pressing. Think about privacy. Privacy, don't put stuff on the blockchain that you may regret putting. Think really, really hard about privacy. Talk to the privacy experts, talk to the Zcash community, to the Monero community. Uport, for example, is a great project that really, really cares about privacy. Talk to them. And then unlock talent by paying people in crypto. If you only are limited to paying in certain banks or certain countries, you're going to deny yourself from like this huge pool of talent that lives in Venezuela and elsewhere that can earn money in crypto directly. And then finally, support us. We are very lucky to count with the support of these organizations, especially shout out to the Zcash company, which has supported us from the beginning. And we are pressing forward with our research and our experiments. And please reach out to us here if you're still interested. Thank you.
Hello. Thank you. Let's have a couple questions. Woo, people all over the hood. Let's go the closest. Cause...
Hey, guys. First of all, thanks for... you must be very courageous to do what you're doing with the project and to stand here in front of the world and speak about it.
Thank you.
My question is more along the lines, so I'm very interested to understand, to get a picture of what it's like in Venezuela. With all the challenges that you guys are facing, does that mean that the market adoption are much higher? So the grandmothers, the kids, do they know things about like how to use private keys, how to make sure that their wallet address is a private account and you know you don't want to share it so that people can see all of your balances? And just, I don't know, just generally a picture of market adoption.
Yeah. So adoption has still increased in the country. Sadly, we're not at the point where people are paying each other with crypto. Adoption in Venezuela mostly means that people are using cryptocurrency to store the wealth. To put an example of what I was doing, I was getting paid directly in crypto, which I hope, and that was a point that we made before, I hope that more companies who pay their workers in crypto. I see a lot of you here, companies like Consensus, Coinbase. In a lot of cases, these big companies don't pay their workers in crypto. They're unlocking themselves away from talent that are living in these countries, and they can get paid. So adoption in Venezuela looks like this. People are using cryptocurrency to restore the wealth, to freely transact. I use it on a regular basis. What I was doing is I was exchanging each week due to hyperinflation. I was exchanging Bitcoin each week into local currency to spend. And using local currency bolivars with a bank account. But like I said, I was exchanging weekly the currency. We're very far away from massive adoption. What we need in Venezuela is easy to use interfaces, apps, exchanges. Mm-hmm. Sadly, the bottleneck right now is that we only have one Bitcoin exchange, centralized Bitcoin exchange, which is local Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. And there's the decentralized alternatives are still very hard to use. Normal people don't want to think about all of that stuff. So that's what we're hoping to see.
Yeah, it's also worth bearing in mind that adoption in Venezuela is probably at 1%, or certainly less than 5% of the population are using cryptocurrencies. So to put everything into perspective, this is just very niche activity that we are just very lucky to be a part of. Both me and Eduardo, we got into cryptocurrency and that we understand its benefits, but the majority of the population doesn't understand. When they think of cryptocurrency, they probably think of the Petro scam that the government was trying to push. So we still don't know, or we have a lot of work to do in terms of public perception of cryptocurrency, in terms of awareness, in terms of, yes, it's a bit about teaching people how to store private keys, maybe it's about doing that a little bit as well, but also lowering the bar. Like WhatsApp, I think WhatsApp is my go-to example all the time, because no one was sending encrypted messages before WhatsApp came around, and no one knows how WhatsApp really does it to like actually encrypt your message and it appears unencrypted on the other side. They manage the protocol. Like, people don't care about protocols, people care about products. So if you design products that normal people can use, people will use them. So
Venezuela is running on WhatsApp.
Yeah,
we're going to do just one more question, unfortunately, and then we're going to move on. And I made eye contact with, oh, it was actually the person to your right. Sorry.
So you mentioned a lot of philosophical challenges and people thinking more, you know, at those fundamental levels. But are there any technical challenges that you feel, you know, if these are solved, that it's going to take things to the next level for your kind of situation?
Sure. Technical challenges exist. First one is that, Venezuela is relatively, a small country. It's 30 million inhabitants, minus like 3 million that recently left. And I guess there's this project called the Play. This project that is being developed by the Pale Blue Foundation. They want to do this big airdrop to Venezuelans. They want to send millions of dollars in Bitcoin to Venezuelans. The technical challenge is to build wallets that are censorship resistant, that can run on very poor hardware. So Venezuelans have old phones. We're talking about Android 4.0 phones. So the technical challenges are programming applications, wallets that can run on these tiny few resources that Venezuelans have.
And keeping stuff decentralized enough so that no one can really stop it, and creating liquidity. It's more like an economic challenge rather than technical, like computer science challenge. But as I said, I believe that money is at 0.0 stage. It's beta. It's like an experimental cancer treatment for someone who's like really ill. And it's something that we might as well try, because there's no alternative. Like, as some people say, oh, it's too early. Like, people don't have access. Like, crypto is still in very early stage. But I really disagree, because there's really no other choice. This is the one shot that we have at trying to solve the problem in a way that is peaceful and that, you know, gives people really access to monetary systems that are open. So, and people already put up with a lot of bureaucracy. If you want to send money into the country, you have to like basically give the birth certificate of your grandmother and a whole bunch of other requisites to like be able to retrieve your money. And then the government ends up taking a 56% cut of what you send. So the bar is already so low. And it's just what my main point in this talk is that money is so broken in Venezuela that even if we don't have fully functioning money, it's going to work well enough for most people or better. So it's going to empower them.